Hello. Welcome to episode 4F06, Bar After Dark. Original air date, November 24th, 1996. I'm Josh Weinstein, executive producer.
Dominic Pulcino, director.
Ken Keeler, participant.
David Silverman, supervising director.
Matt Groening, creator of Dan Castellaneta.
And Richard Appel, writer.
And we also have a very special guest sitting behind us, Gabriel, my son. Now, Rich, do you want to talk about the origins of this story?
Sure. I grew up in a whorehouse. And no. In trying way back when and thinking of a different place to put Bart, thought it would be funny to have him in a burlesque house. And then the only question was how to find one in Springfield since we'd never seen it before. And I don't remember who solved that problem with the lovely airplane flight that discovered the burlesque house.
Oh, also, just say the oil spill is also very clever. This was back in the 90s, right, not too long after the Exxon Valdez. And the captain, does anyone remember the real name of the captain of the Exxon Valdez?
McAllister?
Close, Joseph Hazelwood.
Oh,
there is
right.
A very, I'll tell a very quick anecdote and then shut up. Is Joseph Hazelwood was blamed for being drunk at the helm of a ship, but what had actually happened was he and the whole crew were off duty. They went into town and were drinking, just hanging out, and then the company told them they need to ship now when they were not going to leave till the next day. So he went back on duty and didn't tell anyone he had been drinking, and then they crashed in a very dangerous area.
I believe you're simply reading from his defense at trial. Yes. The jury didn't really find too sympathetic either.
I'm still
all right, we're gonna shut the computer off now and get back to the movie.
You know, a lot of oil-covered ducks and seagulls are going to be very, very
it's true. It was one of the worst
to hear
oil
that
spills
nice
ever.
Story. What?
It was one of the worst oil spills ever. But he was innocent.
We say on The Simpsons that the characters are very well-defined, and yet the sea captain, what's the sea captain's name?
Captain
McAllister. It is McAllister. That's what I thought. I don't recall him ever being a drunk before or after this moment. I mean, there's plenty of drunks in Springfield, but
he,
well, he's a character who repeatedly only says, "Arr." That's it. If he's been sober all those episodes, I'd be surprised.
But talking about characters, we were talking in another episode about how in Springfield it now has so many characters that you can place any characters you need in a situation, especially our huge wealth of sleazebags appear in the bordello and other places. Now, also, wasn't there a debate about, it wasn't even a bordello, it's a burlesque house, and there's a lot of sensitivity.
There's a lot of sensitivity to that, and later in the show, one of my favorite lines, and I don't remember whose it was, and it bought us so much, was when Grandpa and Jasper are sitting in the audience and they're going to shut down this house, and they say, wait, are they talking about the bordello? No. And that just bought us so much, because she said, no, that none of that happens here. That happens at that other house that only Jasper and Grandpa know about.
That's right.
Saved it, right?
Is the burlesque house something that they don't make anymore?
Now it's called Hooters. Places like a burlesque, there's many different terms like a burlesque house or bordello. And now this episode is also based a bit on Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, right?
Yes.
Which was a musical and then a movie.
Right, a better musical than movie. But isn't there a place I haven't been to in Los Angeles that's supposed to be bringing back? I mean, it's obviously a little more risque than old burlesque, but somewhere, what's it called?
Crazy Girls?
No, something Deuce, or I will show my Crazy Girls. That reading from Hank always makes me laugh.
Oh, you mean Jumbo's Clown Room?
The massage parlor?
This, I just always love the animation of Dominic doing this with the garbage angels.
It's a great idea, yeah.
The garbage angels.
Yes, and now this is another episode where there's some stuff in the house, but it has a whole lot of new designs in it for the burlesque house as well. Was that any sort of big challenge with all this new stuff?
Yeah, well, the designers did a great job. It was a lot of fun. This park is funny because you guys hardly ever use it, but I think it's in two of my episodes. I've only directed 8.
So you're commander of the park, basically.
Yeah, there's not much to it. I think it was invented in season 1, and it's just a picture of a sign in a tree.
And now it's so much more. Since we did this, I have tried, as my son can attest, to buy him 3 or 4 of these scale models. And what Milhouse says is very true. sustained level flying is, I would say, impossible from my own experience. Crashing is easy. Attacking old people, also easy.
One thing, there are too many fat children.
Now, that was back in the days in the 90s when Ralph and Martin might be considered fat.
Exactly.
With yes. Childhood obesity.
But now they're just so mildly plump.
Thanks a lot.
I like earlier, by the way, the shot where the they're calling back to each other, where you had no animation, but it's just a very nice shot of two open doors in the shadowed hallway.
Yeah, I was noticing that. I couldn't remember. I'm curious about the process that led to, and maybe there was no process, maybe Dominic just did that, that led to there being no action in that scene at all.
I think that was scripted.
Was it scripted that way? Then congratulations.
We wanted to give you a little 5-minute break in your arduous job.
Phew. Were you trying to save money at that point?
Yeah, pretty much.
Those are the funniest gags when you save money, actually.
And we also did it in the one where Bart was on the road at the end when they go to the blackout as Marge and Homer are talking at the end. I'm always looking to save paint.
Digital paint now.
Oh, that's nice. It's sort of like Lupin 3, isn't it?
It's funny, when I was watching this, I thought we should have had Bart misspell success when he said S-U-C-C-E-S. I thought,
yeah, why didn't
he spelled it correctly, and I thought, oh. I guess it's not worth trying to go back and re-record it all.
No, but you can imagine a funny spelling of it with like a K or something. Now, this is a great design of Belle. Was she based on anybody in particular?
I think I had an idea of the type of woman you guys had in mind. I think Scott Alberts probably designed it.
Yeah.
We went through a lot of designs on this.
Yeah,
I recall.
Hello?
Your son was trespassing on my property and destroyed a very valuable stone gargoyle. Are you wearing a grocery bag?
I have misplaced my pants.
He's very proper about that, Dinos.
I assume you'll want to punish him.
Is that Tress?
Yes, that is Tress.
Tress McNeil?
Yes.
She's the best sort of rootin' tootin' lady around.
If you won't discipline him, I'll come back and speak with his mother.
And Tress did a great job, and we're very lucky to have Tress. But I do remember, for some reason, this was a role that was very hard to stunt cast. I remember we had tried with a couple of people I'm not sure would have been nearly as good as Tress. I don't know if they just didn't want to play a madam-like figure.
That's right, and probably they would have done better than Tress. What?
Did you say they probably would have done better?
Wouldn't have done.
Oh, see, it sounded like you said. You said would have.
No, can we stop this thing and I can say it correctly? I have a nasal condition.
We'll fix it in editing. Yeah, right.
No, that's what it's to say.
Need to send Tress some flowers after this DVD comes out.
Oh, half an hour ago. No, my point was, in my brain, is sometimes we would say, this is perfect role for celebrity, and if we didn't get it, then our actors did a better job anyway.
Absolutely.
That's true. I agree with that 100%.
And there's a couple, actually, episodes in the season where we did that, and there's a famous one where we can't say who the actor is, but we actually cut this pretty famous actor out of an episode and had one of our actors do the voice, and it was great. But just listen to the commentaries later.
So I was saying I didn't know what a burlesque house was, so that's the introduction visually. I always wanted to put in any episode girls that look like Bob Fosse, all that jazz type chicks.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot
this
of
my opportunity to put my fetish in there.
A lot of great animation of dancing ladies, too, which provided us nerds stuck in a room. A lot of
Normally, we don't allow children in here, but your father was so insistent.
He's tough, but there. I'll start sorting these bras.
That's a bit advanced for you, but I know a stopped-up sink that needs some attention.
Just glad to be on the team.
When you work the door...
Sink,
the
main not a toilet, huh?
No, we have a clean.
That puzzled me when I saw it again. I don't know. I think we thought it was too much to...
And this run is just, I think, what someone, maybe Josh, was saying. When you have so many defined characters and a new place like this, it is just, it's an embarrassment of riches to think who to throw in through that door.
Yeah, for extras, we just went through the model pack, you know. That guy looks sleazy. That guy would be hilarious.
Because I know even people like Disco Stew and other people.
Oh, yeah, why not? Yes,
Disco Stew was at the act break, right? Yeah. Sitting at the table.
His Disco Stew was very new at this point, too. I'm not sure he had any characteristics at all except his love of disco.
Well, he burned very bright in his early incarnation. would look for an excuse. The Begley 2000, not to be missed.
Yes, Ed Begley is a big environmental activist and also a big electric car guy.
And you know that, okay, so the blank 2000 was the comedy term for the thing of the future, and now, in the 21st century, it's the blank 3000. Ta-da!
That'll last about 1,000 years.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe I'm trying to figure out when I'll switch over to 4,000.
The jokes are in the breast pocket. If you get,
I did my math right. It should be about 1,000 years.
It was. It used to be the funny date in the future was 1971, and then it became 1984, and then 2000, and then 3,000. So it's taking exponential jumps in.
Yeah, my feeling is it's only going to take a century for them to get tired of 3,000 and go to 4,000.
I honestly don't even think the year 3,000 is that hilarious.
Oh, the premise of future is shot down.
It's just not a funny number.
I should point out, writing these bad jokes and it was harder than pitching on many a joke you hoped would be very good.
But they're actually pretty good professional style jokes.
They're professional 1930 style vaudeville jokes. Yes.
Couldn't you like steal them from a public domain book?
You could get a few premises from the public domain, but some of those punchlines are so familiar.
We prefer just to steal ideas from history that nobody knows.
Dwight Flanders newspaper. What the? President Eisenhower celebrates 40th wedding anniversary. Not pictured Mrs. Eisenhower.
If you see a picture of Dwight and Mamie Eisenhower, you might get an idea. Why, although she was a pleasant-looking lady.
And I remember that 4 seconds was on the chopping block about 106 times during this episode, but we fought always to keep it in.
Oh, I agree. Kids need rules and boundaries.
Now, I don't know of...
Is that Princess Kashmir?
Yes.
Yeah. What fellow nerds have freeze-framed during these shots to try to see something, and... There's not any.
There's only one frame. Unbelievable.
But you have to have a really advanced.
But the DVR hasn't been invented yet that will freeze it.
That was my favorite line in the show. I think it was drugs. Yeah, you got to have drugs.
Yes.
We're just absentmindedly repeating.
I don't know where her dance came from. I must have studied it somewhere.
This is my favorite line. Coming up here.
Yes, this is great.
This is the National Air and Space Museum, isn't it?
The National Air and Space Museum. There's a lot of ways he could have gone, but he
could have been a municipal air and space museum.
All things are about Jesus, Homer. Except this. Your son has been working in a burlesque house.
Principal Skinner saw him with his own eyes.
That's true. I'm going in there to get directions on how to get away from there.
Parent, I was already well aware of that.
Homer?
This is very risque stuff, you know. The subject matter.
It was. The whole way through writing this, too, we were very sensitive, but also, like, it's like, how are you going to deal with sort of sex stuff?
But it was euphemism. Back in the 90s. America loves the euphemism. Loves it.
Yes.
The blatant? No.
Well, let's just also say, the Maison Derrière was not the first name of this burlesque house. I think we had a dozen that we...
Do you remember it?
I can't remember them now, that we all realized...
Weren't as funny?
I don't even think I can say that with my son in the room. Let alone broadcast on
He's
national
shrugging
television.
Like, Dad, come on, I know everything. This is back in the 90s when we were innocent. Now here, 2006. The kids know it all.
They've all been to burlesque houses by the age of 12.
And watching this episode again, I also thought, did Marge learn nothing from her fruitless quest to ban itchy and scratchy and violence? She's on yet another noble, hopeless quest.
Well, it's great. Every episode, it's just a complete clean slate. It's complete amnesia.
How can I be of service?
It's a great design in the room here.
Yeah.
A lot of nice details.
Marge is very prudish in this.
Yes, and what I liked about this episode is that we gave the likable role in this scene to the guest star.
I've lived in this town for 37 years.
Well, the Simpsons always makes a convincing argument for what seems like it should be wrong.
That's because the writers are crazy.
Church, the library, or the crazy house. So I think I'll stay right here.
I like that, Dom, just really cornering her with that. That's really good.
Now, is that painting the background based on any classic painting?
In the spirit of. I don't think it's an exact replica of anything.
Language are Marge Simpson. It's a light pink 87 wagon.
And after visiting the area for the past...
I'm trying to remember how long we spent on that sign gag. I know it comes up a lot, but those things just take unbelievable amounts of time. time that Rich could have been spending with his child.
I only met my son earlier this morning. I said, I'm doing a Simpsons record. Come on.
I'm here to share my moral outrage. But this time it's not about that giant inflatable Dos Equis bottle. It's about a...
That sort of bothers me, too.
Is it the plumbing?
No. It's a house of ill...
Mo has one of my favorite lines in the show coming up when they're doing the slideshow.
Is there a building code violation? A drainage issue? A surveying error?
The house is perfectly fine.
Well, then quit bad-mouthing the house.
Yeah, leave the house alone.
Oh, Jesus, what's inside the house that's disgraceful? Drinking, gambling, and debauchery. It's right under our noses. A secret house of burlesque.
That's not good. People, this is an issue that we as a town are strong enough to ignore. Let us give no more scrutiny to this bawdy house and its small clientele of loyal perverts.
Oh, I'm afraid this problem goes far beyond Eugene and Rusty.
No, those are really good.
Did they ever come back?
Again, that was, I think that was somewhat controversial about having perverts, right?
Julius! Clancy!
Skinner!
Seymour!
Now, is that the first use of Wiggum's first name, Clancy?
I don't know.
No, I think so.
This is it. Pretty sure it was used before.
No one cared.
Smithies?
My parents insisted I give it a try, sir.
Mayor Quimby!
That could be any mayor.
I rest my case.
In light of these new facts, of which I now realize...
I just want to bring up, by the way, the scene in the song with Arlie... Major Quarrels, your total lack of morals. That was you pantomiming, pointing during the animatic. I remember, is that how you want the acting to? And singing, by the way. I mean,
yes, and we'll get to the song, because this was a great song written by Ken Keeler, right?
Music by Alf Clausen.
Alf Clausen, who Ken is our, was our, early in the earlier seasons, Jeff Martin was a regular song guy. Then when we came along, we were lucky to have Ken, who is our resident songsmith. And this song that you will hear got an Emmy, correct?
That is correct. I believe it was the first Simpsons win in that category.
And I believe it was Alf's first win as a composer, right?
I believe that's right. He won two that year. I think he won for Underscore also.
Oh,
and
great.
So that might have been a few minutes earlier.
Okay.
And did that win have anything to do with the animation?
No, they were specific about it.
In fact, they said they would turn the screen off so they would just listen to the music.
Oh, no.
All right, I'll shut up.
We should do a count of how many episodes around this time ended with a mob scene, because it was an awful, awful lot of them. But they're all great and all different.
Now, once again, Dan proves himself to be a really great singer. And just listen to his intro to it. It's just all his heart, full-voiced, and it's just great.
I will say my favorite line in the show, in the song, is his first song line, which has a joke in it that nobody has ever really even commented on.
This part here.
This line.
You're the quickie mart, and nobody would care.
Nobody takes exception to that statement. Mo doesn't take exception right. to that statement. Apu doesn't take exception to that statement.
It just sounds so nice. And
well, he's singing it so well.
Well, yeah. I think people are so shocked by the fact that there's a song that they're going to have
listen
to listen to.
Hold that note.
Now, this is interesting, because I'd forgotten about this. This, I think, we try to be very careful always to have in the picture some sense of where the music might be coming from. I think there's probably exceptions, but this one...
I think at the end we were thinking also of all the different joke sound effects.
The sound
we were
effects,
trying to pile
yes,
in as many
right.
as we possibly
there was
could.
A
right.
huge number that we cut down.
There were some really, really hilarious sound effects we couldn't use because we couldn't figure out a way to get the object that would make them in the picture.
Hey, Josh, here's your acting.
All right.
Shaking your finger. You're shaking the finger right now, aren't you?
Dad, please don't comment on it.
We could never get this finger twiddle right, though.
We wanted that little...
The retake, like, five times.
I think that's the Reverend's father's only appearance in the show, though. He's very briefly there, and his existence is asserted, and I don't know that he ever comes back.
No, I think that's it, too. And same with the two perverts, you know, they never came back.
Now, that's a very henpecky Jackie O style.
Yes. But she appears so seldomly that her voice sort of changes from time to time.
That's one of my favorite moments.
Yes.
I love the harmony.
Teenagers singing a barbershop trio, anyhow.
Now, this is great animation, too.
Just their walk just up there, I thought was just great animation. It
yeah.
looked very...
I think this was... I storyboarded this. It was the first time I got a chance to do a musical, so I wanted to really...
Yeah, you did a great job on
it. Give it something.
Great job.
It's really fun. So many beats and notes you try to hit visually.
Now we added a lot of things at the end here.
Yes.
I think after the animatic.
Yes, that's right.
We had thrown in Barney Burpee and we'd thrown in the pie, and then you fleshed everything out after the animatic.
It's a curious song conceptually, because the story point is they do perform a very big song. It's very important that they have performed a song, because that's what that is the fact that has convinced people.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Oh, I gotta go rent the bulldozer.
Well, we all changed our minds.
Yeah, now we love the house.
It's a very loud reading.
Yes, it's a very good. I think we were like, that's really big, but it's funny. I'm so happy.
Can you sing it again?
I'm sorry, I really was one of those spur of the moment.
Well, I also have a song to sing. Both songs. Morals and ethics and carnal forbearance.
That sounded like, you know, that was so good.
That was a good start. I want to hear the rest of that.
But Marge, that was our only burlesque house.
I do love it when you drop by, Marge. Next time, why don't we get together at your house?
I'm so sorry. How can
it looks like it didn't actually damage the main stage.
Well, that's a good. That's
well,
good.
It didn't, because...
That's a great puppet, too.
Yeah.
Just had a baby. What did you name him? Chip.
Take it off!
That's my favorite one. Take it off.
You've got Hutch in the background, and...
I realize I'm actually technically probably entitled to royalty payments for this reuse of the song here. Even though the lyrics aren't in it, I think I'm still entitled to them, so I have something to take up
about. Oh, here we go again. Oh, my God. Don't get Ken started.
How much?
Oh, you don't want to know.
But I will say, as in the, before Simpsons was in Writers Guild, the only good payments you would get for residuals was from ASCAP for writing songs, which actually paid a lot more than the writers would get for an episode, where now, like, writers will get very... very small amount.
Kids at home, this is what writers talk about.
I didn't get enough money.
I wish I'd never even seen The Simpsons.
Thank you for listening. Come back next episode. Sorry.
With money.
With royalties.